Same as always, the tertiary English master Gresham in our name, and you can tell you talk that we're missing him. We shouldn't skive off again early. Go away for Shabbos. No need to miss Shiel on Thursday night. Right. Vayiyu chayi Sora mea shana v'esrim shana v'sheva shanim. Sora Mimenu lived, as we know, for 127 years. Famously, the Medrash tells us that Rabbi Kiva saw his Talmidim who were dozing off in a shir. And he said to them, do you know how Esther Hamalka was zocheh to rule over 127 provinces? Because she had an Elta Baba who lived for 127 years. And the Chiddush HaRim asked, first of all, what's the connection between the two? Why, because Sora Imenu lived for 127 years, did that afford Esther Hamalka to be a queen of 127 provinces? And secondly, how was this meant to achieve the purpose for which Rabbi Kiva was telling this to them? How was this meant to wake them up? Said the Chiddush HaRim, if 127 years afford you 127 provinces, then 127 years, each year is a province. That means if each year is a province, each month is a country. And if each month is a country, then each week is a city. And if each week is a city, then each day is a suburb. And if each day is a suburb, each hour is a street. And if each hour is a street, every minute is a building. And if every minute is a building, every second is a room. So cumulatively, you need your seconds to be filled in order to have rooms to create minutes, which are houses, to get enough houses to be filled to create streets which are filled. Those are your seconds and your hours and your days in order to accumulate suburbs and to accumulate cities and to accumulate countries and ultimately to accumulate provinces. And that means that Sora Imenu must have lived every second of her life to the full in order for her great, great, great granddaughter to rule over entirely over all these places. And said Rabbi Kiva to his Talmidim, and every second is worth that much, and you're falling asleep. And that's how he intended to cause them to awaken. It's a beautiful Erechaim HaKadosh, a very important Erechaim HaKadosh over here, at the beginning of the parasha, where he says that the Rashi famously tells us, and each Shana is to tell us something about the fact that when she was 100, she was like she was 20, when she was 20, she was like Zion, Leofi, and that's the 7-year-old child's inner beauty, which is shown on their ponim, which tells us about their pnim, is a revelation of the fact that they are pure. And that remained with Sora Imenu throughout her life. And then the pasuk finishes off, Shnei Chaye Sora. Seemingly, extra words, for Sheitzach in the Torah, there isn't such a thing. Rashi points out and says that it's telling us kulam shavin latoiva. That means that even though Sora Imenu lived one of the most difficult lives a person could have lived, she went with Avraham Avinu on this journey, this arduous journey from Eretz, from Ur Kasdim to Choron to eventually to Eretz Canaan, got taken captive. They lived in poverty. She was childless, etc., etc., etc. Yet, ultimately, they are kulam shavin latoiva, meaning she looked at them and to her. She always looked at it in a way of this is Ratzon Hashem, in a bright way of life, and she must have had filled them all that they all were Latova. The Erechaim HaKadosh, I'll read you out his words. He says, he himself says that the reason why Sora Imenu was Nifta, Lefi Masha Pirashti, She Omar Vayihyu, Lahagid She Mesom Machmas Tsar Yagid Hakosu Baimrish Nechaye, she died, he says, Vayu Yuchai Sora, she wasn't meant to have died then. She was not meant to have been Nifta then. That wasn't her time. But because she heard about the Basura, that's why she sibas misos hoya keshohidi uha akedas Yitzchak. We'll see later on what it was that brought her to her death. He quotes the same Medrash that Rashi quotes, Vikimat shaloi nishchad parcha nishmasa. But it wasn't the time. And he says, therefore, that's why the Torah comes and says, Shnei Chaye Sora. To tell us, that means before a person is born, it's announced how many days that person is going to live. And Sora Imenu hadn't yet reached that amount of days, and Paruch HaNishmasa because of what she heard about the Akedah. But Yechavin, so therefore the Torah comes and adds these three words to tell us. Lohidia, the intention is to tell us, to make known, Mishpat HaChesed Asher Yishmod HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyedidov. The Mishpat HaChesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then exacts to those who are close to him. Ki kol tzadik shlo hishlim yomav lesiba yodua. Any tzadik that didn't end the amount of days that were allotted to them, for whatever reason that is better known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to us, Aber lo yigra Hashem mitzadik ma shehoya marviach ilu chai shon of shleimim. The tzaddik won't lose out from their schar what they could have achieved had they lived the entire amount of days that was nigzar for them to live before they were born. They didn't live those days, so they couldn't accumulate more zechuyos during that time. It doesn't matter. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is v'yashrim lo yischorei al hashonim shelo yipal bohem dobar. They'll get paid schar for the years they did nothing. Ki yoymar eilov, because they could say to the Rabbeinu Shleilom, ilu ha'yisi chai, ta'avosi hoiso, l'sagel dover toiv. Had I been alive, my desire was only to do even more good and to accumulate more zechusim. V'hu oymar shnecha yisora kivin al hasha'ar, that means what was left over was given its shnei chai yesara. They were infused. The leftover years that, so to speak, weren't actively lived, but were infused with the chiyus from the years that she did live, and through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the schar. That means that for whatever, like we said, whatever misiva you do, for whatever siva is known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to when a person's time to leave living on this world and to go and wait in the world to come, or the medium term world, in order to waiting for your Mesa Mashiach, whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch has decided that should happen when it happens, that person will never lose from the schar that they could have and would have accumulated had they remained in this world. So Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that he when he would go to be Menachem Avinu by people, he would say over that the Baba Sali himself had a brother who was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, the town near Lod, and he was killed in a car accident in tragic circumstances, and the Baba Sali was distraught. He used to cry by day, by night. He was absolutely distraught about what had happened, until his brother came to him in a dream, and he said to him, I am in Gan Eden and you're crying. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shlom has his cheshbon, and the tzaddikim go where they're meant to go. And in fact, we say, but they could have accumulated more. For what purpose? For what purpose should they have accumulated more? They could have done more. What for? What? The other people could be nana from it. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways of making sure that the hanoah comes to other people. Al schar, the schar is there, and they get the entire schar for even the years that they could have accumulated more, would have accumulated more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that they get it. And Nistarim Dark Hashem, we have no idea what the drachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are when it comes to these things. That's what Rechaim HaKadosh points out. The Rebbeinu Shem had his cheshbon. But what exactly happened when Sori Aminu was Nifter? When it says, this Pasuk base, V'atom HaSori V'kiryas Arba, Hi Chevron, V'eret Kenoan, V'yavoy Avram Lispoid L'Sora. Avram came to give a hesped for Sora. V'livkoyis and to cry for her. On that, says Rashi, V'nismecha misa sora l'akedas Yitzchak. The misa of sora is juxtaposed to the akedah in the end of last week's parasha. L'fishal yedei besura sa akedah, because through the news of the akedah, she's damin b'no l'shchita, that her child was readied for shchita. V'kimat sheloi nishchat. It just about didn't get shechted. Pocha nishmas v'mena omesa. Her neshama flew away from her and left her. Why is this put over here? Why is this put on the Dibah Maskel of Lispoid Lesora Velivkoisa? Really, you want to know why the Bayu Chai Sora, Mea Shonesha, Batomat Sora Vakiras Arba, Loma Nismacha Parashazu, Le Parashazunafonea of the Akedah. Say on the words of Atomat Sora. Why does Rashi put it on the words of Avram came to say a hesped for Sora and to be Livkoisa, her hesped? On that says Rashi, do you know why this parasha is next to the last parasha? Because she was Nifta because of the Akedah. So then it should go on the words of Atomat Sora. Why does Rashi say this information on the words of the husband? Said the Rav Shlomo Kluger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that, let's see what the words that Rashi says over here from the Medrash, Tanchuma. Because of the news of the Akedah that Sarah heard, what did she hear? She nizdamein b'no l'shchita, that her son was readied for shchita. V'kimat shaloi nishchata, and he wasn't, and it almost happened, but he wasn't shechted. And Neshama left her. So from Shlomo Kluger, we see in the Medrash, tells us that actually Yitzchak Avinu knew about the Akedah beforehand, and he even went to his mother to talk to her about it. And he discussed it with her. So from Shlomo Kluger, you see that in the Medrash, and she said, if that's the Ratzon Hashem, and that's what you go to do. she was always a little worried, would her husband and son be able to be Omid bin Nisayim? When it came to the crunch, would they be able to be Omid bin Nisayim? And she was mispalel for them, that they should be Omid bin Nisayim. When she heard that they were returning together from the Akedah, she said, ah, they weren't Omid bin Nisayim. And that gave her the Agmas Nefesh. Got up Avraham Avinu and he said, that's the Hesped. What was the Hesped? So Rashi, why is this parsha next to the parsha of the Akedah? This was the Hesped. The Hesped was, the Akedah just happened. And she was nifted as a result of the Akedah. What? Because she heard that her son almost got shechted? No. She knew it was going to happen. Because she heard he didn't get shechted. And she thought we hadn't been Omid bin Yisrael. That's why Rashi brings it, said Shlomo Krug over here, to describe the Hesped that was given to Sara Imenu over at this point. Mefarshim tell us that one of the reasons that the Torah goes to great length to tell us about the acquisition of the Omar Aras Machpelah, and then we see a number of times further on here in the Torah, and certainly in Sefer Bereishis, whenever the Omar Aras Machpelah is mentioned, it's mentioned as the Omar Aras Machpelah, which Avraham Avinu bought for the full amount of money from Ephraim, is because it was Avraham Avinu felt it extremely important for us to know the concept of Hash'aras HaNefesh, that we, as Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, let's first say, as human beings, everyone walks around with a guf and a nefesh abahami. We have our nefesh, which is a composition of feelings and nature and instinct and the senses, the five senses. And then we have a neshama. And that neshama infuses our nefesh with a whole different level, an upper class of nefesh, because we are yidden. Avraham Avinu came to the Bnei Ches, the Canaanim of that time. They believed, like Emorim believed, and that's why they used to stab themselves and pull their hair out when someone died. That's the end. Done. Never going to see them again. There's nothing left. The grief is immense because it's tuck at the end. And therefore they were grief stricken and they would do things which were irrational. In fact, Chazal to the Medrash says that the Emorim, the Canaanim here, the Chittim, the way they had is they had these burial plots which they would put bodies into, wait for them to decompose, and then chuck the bones out. Use it for the next person. Avraham Avinu wanted to come along and say, no, it doesn't work like that for us. We actually have this land that's going to be ours, and the mace is there. It's a base hachayim, because this is where they're actually going to get back up to life. As Rabdessa says, that the whole way that a seed decomposes and then comes back to life and something grows out of it is the moshul for tchiyas hameisim that's going to happen. And therefore our emuna is that there's a guf and there's a neshama and the nefesh. And the neshama and the nefesh are the real person. The neshama is what gives it the chiyus and the nefesh is that real person. Clothed inside a guf. And at the end of the person's life, the two separate. And the nefesh, together with the neshama, goes to its holding location. And the guf gets closeted in the ground. And it goes through whatever it needs to go through until eventually So Avraham Avinu wanted to make sure that we understood this, that for eternity, Klal Yisrael should know that there is this, the nefesh remains. There's even some sort of connection between the lower parts of the nefesh and the neshama to the guf, even when that's why we go to Daven by Kiryat Tzadikim, because there is that connection that's still there, maybe even more than that. I've said this before, but it's such a brilliant vort, I'm going to say it again. The Vilna Gaon says, there's a story in the Gemara Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan had diggers in his estate. And they were digging and they were digging and they were digging. And suddenly, Nochar Buhu Hu Gavra, a guy from under the ground, grunted at them. They were petrified. They ran back inside to Rabbi Nachman. And he said, he came outside and he started to converse. He said, who are you? So the mace says, the nifta says, Ani Achoy, Ano Achoy Bar Yashia. So Achoy Bar Yashia, I'm sure we buried you already some time back. Yeah? He said, yeah. So how comes it? Gosh, she felt him. His entire body's there. What was it? He said, you haven't learned to Potsdam Mishle. She says, I don't understand. It says that the Pesuk in Koheles says that everyone's going to go back to being Ofer. The Akrich Koheles, Le Akrich Mishle. Whoever taught you Koheles didn't teach you the other part of Ksuvim, Mishle. It says, Urakava Tzomis Kina. Someone who lived in their life with Kina, then their body decomposes. Someone who didn't, there's no recovering about Tzomis. The body stays intact. That's why the Chidusha on Sheshem, the Pirush on Chumash, in the Rav Peninim Chumash, come back to me what the Pirush is, not the Ma'over Shemesh, the other one, says over there, that's why at the end of Sefer Bereishis, it talks about the Atzmos Yosef. Why is it called Atzmos Yosef? Yosef was an example of someone who could have had kin against his brothers for what they did to him, and could have taken revenge, and could have harbored some sort of vendetta against him, and he didn't. And therefore, he's called the Atzmos Yosef. He stayed intact. So this Nifta says to Reb Nachman, listen, I'm intact. So he says to him, okay, so I have to come back into my house. He says, oh, yeah, yeah. Not only don't you know Ksuvim, you don't know Nevi'im. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel Anovi, after the whole story with the dry bones, he brings them back to life. And the Rebbe says this is a prelude to Tchias HaMesim of the future. And he says there's also this thing of Befisrias Kivroi Seichem Am HaShem. A person's not allowed to leave their cave until the Eivisha tells them that they can. But until then, they're in the cave. So yeah, I can't come out. So Nachman said, okay, look. Maybe not Ksuvim, maybe not Nevi'im. And there's a pasuk in Torah, in the first parasha of the Torah, parasha of Bereishis, that the offer out of El offer toshuv. Adam Arishan, you were created from offer, you're going to go back to being offer. So what's going on with you? Achai Bariyasha, tell me what's happened. Said, nah, ahu, shah achas kodim tchiyas amesim. For tzaddikim it's different. He says, you know what happens to the tzaddik? The Rishon decided, okay, it's now time for them to have a doivev bekever, a deep, pleasant sleep in the kever. The nefesh, the neshama, they go like in zemiroimim, they have no menucha, they go, they steig. And the guf, in the meantime, is replenishing its koichas, and it's there, it's doivim bekeva. Until the time for tchiyas amesim. It's just bad. Every person has to go through that decomposition and re-being built in for tchiyas amesim. For tzaddikim, that's shah achas koidin tchiyas amesim. That's that moment. But until then, there's a certain chiyus, and they're still alive. Another reason why we go daven by kirei tzaddikim. Said the Vilna Gaon, if we look throughout the parsha, from in this first parsha of the acquisition, Avraham Avinu is buying the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So we know the Medrash tells us Avraham Avinu knew that Adam and Chava were buried there. When he chased last week's parsha after the calves in order to be able to feed the guests that he had, one of them ran and led him into the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and he smelt the smell of Gan Eden. He saw Adam and Chava buried there. That he wanted this place. He realized this is the place for Kavur. Subsequent to the acquisition of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, there would be 6 tzaddikim and tzidkonios that would be buried there: Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. And in representing this, we find there are 7 times in the parasha where you find the word kavura and mace next to one another. You have in, for example, in pasuk dalet ve'ekbara mesi. In pasuk vav, you got it twice. You've got kavoyer es mesecha, and then mikvoyer mesecha. And 6 times you have it where kavura precedes misa. The 7th time, it says, es mescha kvoyer. It says, why is it like that? 6 times is referring to the 6 tzaddikim and tzidkonios, who their kvura would be before their ultimate misa. Because ahu shah achas koidim tchiyas amesim. So therefore, ve'ekbar amesi, kvoyer mescha, mikvoyer mescha, v'chule, that's all talking about the tzaddikim and tzidkonios who have their kvura, and they're asleep, and they're lying there, and the misa is a shah achas koidim tchiyas amesim. And the last time it says, ve'es mescha, Kavoyer, it changes around the order, because that's representing or referring to Esau's head. Before his Misa. So it already says then, Mescha Kavoyer, because he was already a Fashtabana, and then he got put into the cave, and that's why it has it that way around. But Tzaddikim is something that happens only much later on. And that's what Avraham Avinu wanted to teach us, that there is this Hasharas HaNefesh, there is this, it's called the Beis HaChaim, and it's going to be ultimately used again. Ksav Sofer points out the very interesting use of language by Lavan and Besuel when it comes to them telling Perek Chof Dalad Pasuk Nun. So he has just told them the whole story of what happened that day and how it all transpired. I heard from my Rebbe Ram Gurwitz Shlita this morning. He said by his shiva that his father said over that, I'm not sure, I can't remember when he said it over, but he said, at the time, I think tonight he has yotzah for his mother, Robertson Gurwitz, Zichron Olibracha, and maybe his father said it by her shiva, that when Eliezer came, he saw, what was his whole test of Rivka? What was it to see? The most important thing. Midas Tovis, Gemilas Chasadim. That's the bottom line of every Yid. If that's missing, then the whole Yisoid is shaky. Says, and then he said he gave her a Nezem Zor Bekar Gugoyles, weighing a Bekar, and Shnit Smidim Al Yodel. What was this for? Rashi tells us from Ramesh Adarshan that the Bekar Mishkola was referring to the Bekar Lagugoyles, the Machtis HaShekel, which weighed a Bekar of silver. It was representing that to her. And the Shnit Smidim Al Yodel were the two Luchas Habris. Why? So he was saying to her, you know, the moment you have the three amudim on which the world stands, you have, you want to be zeichet to those other two. Come back and marry my master, marry Yitzchok. Because you'll then get the Bekah, the Machtzah Shekel. Every year people gave a Machtzah Shekel, from that the Karbonis were brought. That's Avodah. Shnei Tzmidim is the two Luchas, that's Torah. You'll be zeichet to those two by becoming part of our family and then give that over. Later on, so Eliezer tells the whole story to Lavan and Basur. Vayan Lavan and Basur Vayomru Vehashem Yotza Hadavar. Mamish sounds like these elecha people, unbelievable. And Munin Hakadosh Baruch was Vehashem Yotza Hadavar. Lo Nuchal Dabar Elecha Ra'ito. What's going on? We know that these guys were conspiring to kill Yitzchak. In the end, they've got this poison there to kill Eliezer. I mean, they've got this poison there, and they want to kill him. They want to. Mamish better for that. Vehashem Yotza Hadavar. What's going on? How did that happen that they said that? And then, as well, he says, they say to Mashem Yotza Hadavar. Lo nuchal dabar elecha ra'ay toiv. Oh, by the way, hinei rifka lefonecha, kach voleich. Well, she's like a packet of sugar. What are you, this wasn't some sort of business deal. What are they talking about? Take her, go and take her away. Was he Isha leben adenecha? She, like, Kira, we didn't know that was what the whole discussion was about. Let her be a wife for the son of your master. I mean, yeah, but what? So the Ksav Sofer says, Eliezer sat down there with them and said to them, I want you to know what a wonderful daughter you have. And I came along with an outrageous test. I want to find someone who's gonna give me, which I haven't asked for, and she's not going to give to her. Your daughter, an unbelievable Baalas Chesed. Some of them saw, there's the 1 second, they say, just tell us, did she ask you for any payment? He said, no. What? She gave you the whole thing for free. Yeah, I mean, you must have brought her up amazingly well. So no, but us, it doesn't work like this. But there's no freebies in our society. If she gave you something, she must have asked you to pay it. No, she didn't say a word. So they said, you know what? This isn't one of ours. She's actually a sakana for us to have here. She's doing free favors for people. That's not what we live. That's not how we live. That's not our ideology. This is something else. It's not us. We're not the school of thought. Hinei Rivka Lefanecha Kach Voleich. Just get her out of here. Take it out of her, but we can't deal with her. Yeah, your people, that's it. Yeah, you and your master and your son of your master, where you do these types of things, free, take her there. There was the whole erech, so the Ksav Sofer, and value, it wasn't there. As we see, they wanted to kill Eliezer. They wanted to, the way Lavan ran out to him after, the famous Erech Chaim HaKadosh says, the Rebbeinu Shem had to make this unbelievable nace, that when Lavan runs out, because he suddenly sees his sister coming in with all this jewelry, so he reckons, oh, this guy must have loads of money, I'm going to go and kill him. And so what happens? Lavan runs out, and he sees Eliezer. So Eliezer saw Lavan coming along and realized this guy has one intention, to kill me and take everything. He used the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The camels suddenly were pareach above the Be'er, and Eliezer was pareach al hagamalim al ha'oyin. As a mele, when Lavan came along, he said, boy, Baruch Hashem, come down, Baruch Hashem, Lama Same Bachus, why are you standing outside? And then he took him inside. That was normally, you don't, when you see someone who's coming, you don't say, boy, come. They've just come. You say normally, Shalom, or whatever it may be, or not come. They're here. So that's the reason he said, if he said, come down from where you are, I'm not going to do anything to you. And he realized that he would do that. I'll just finish off. One of the boys in school asked me this week. At the beginning of the parasha, we see that one of the things that Eliezer saw, which was a simon of who Rivka was, that when she came to the water, So it says Vahanara Tubas Mara Sulab Inish the Vatirid Ha'aino Vatamali Kado Vatoil. And the kad, Rashi tells us, it filled up on its own. He saw that it filled up, she didn't need to do any pu'ula. Yet later on it says and she went down, and she was vatmar vatad kader ashoyges vatoritz rabeir lishoy vatisha v'chol gemalov. There, she had to actually draw it. It didn't come up to her. So he said, "Well, you know, why is that the case?" So I told him, I found the answer, Baruch Hashem, in the Bidichula. Here, the Bidichula said that what he was showing her, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for her was, when she was first going, she was going to take water for herself. Alright, she's doing it for herself. I'm going to make a nace for her. Why should she have to exert excess energy unnecessarily? But then it came to her doing a mitzvah. So the Zohar Kodesh says that a mitzvah that just comes without any effort or without any investment of whether finances or whether personal effort, it's not necessarily coming from the place of Kedusha. So when something comes and it needs energy and it needs investment, it needs, whether it's financial or whether it's any type of koyach, we should know, Hashem Yotza Hadavah, it's been sent to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when she was now doing the chesed, the Rebbeinu said, you know, let her exert the effort. Ultimately, she wants it to do it, Alta Maisa Chesed, so then I'm going to let the effort take place. He said, the Skulen Rebbe, the Alta Skulen Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said, we see from here that sometimes we embark to do any mitzvah. And on the way, we feel we're having certain things that are impeding us or hindering us. That we should actually know, it's a Simon Min HaShamayim, that we're doing the right thing. Because if it's a little hard, it's the Rebbeinu Shem saying, you know what, you've chosen to do a mitzvah, let me give you a little of those things on the way that make it a little more difficult to increase your schar ad ein l'shair. And I saw that Rav Avraham Shor Shlita, he suggests from that, he says that's also what often we see when we embark on any new mission of avodah in any sort of way. There's always a lot of energy at the beginning, and we feel, and the energy sort of carries us through. The haschola's koshus, that's not the real haschola then, because we get some tremendous siyata d'shmaya, and it's then when that goes away, it's almost like this time in the year. You know, we started the year, we had chodesh cheshvan, we were just coming out of the yomei roim, and now we're a little bit away from that. So that the initial energy is gone. It's almost the Rebbeinu Shem said, okay, you know where you can reach, now start doing it on your own. That's what he did to Rivka as well. Then initially it comes up, it's flowing, it's coming out of the Mayon, it's coming, it comes up to us, and it shows us what we can achieve in the coming year. And then the Rebbeinu Shalom says, okay, now go and draw it yourself. It gives us a chizuk that we should know that's part of it, it's to increase our schar, not to make things more difficult for the sake of making them more difficult. On the contrary, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom has shown us what we can achieve. Be'ez Hashem, he gives us the siyata d'shmaya to achieve more.